continue to pray for the people of Kingston who are without a home.
Good morning, everybody. We begin our service by saying together the words of Psalm 121. They're projected on the screen. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? He will not let your foot be moved. And he who watches over you will not fall asleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. We join to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. join to pray using the words projected on the screen. O God, the Holy Spirit, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh. Convict, convert, and consecrate many hearts and lives. To our great good and your greater glory. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Almighty God, Spirit of purity and grace, in asking your forgiveness, we cannot claim a right to be forgiven, but only cast ourselves on your unbounded love. We cannot plead our merit or desert. We cannot plead the frailty of our nature. We cannot plead the force of the temptations we encounter. We can only rest on your promise and your love. May the Lord God grant us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. He will not cast us from his presence and will not take his Holy Spirit from us. We join to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. There are two main themes for this service which come from the readings. One is the holiness of God, and the second one is the overwhelming generosity of God's love. And it's the second theme that we want to illustrate here in what happens now, and Steve is going to lead us with Tony on the clavinova.
There is a saying that there's no such thing as a free lunch. If you get something for nothing, you probably aren't getting it for nothing, people are trying or expect something back. Even if you love somebody, perhaps you want a bit of love back, or somebody to say thank you for what you've done. But today, we're going to give you a present. We don't even need a thank you. It's completely unconditional, and we hope you enjoy it. And it's here, and Dahi doesn't know what it is. Do you want to take the cover off? What's in there? What can you see? She's very quietly saying there are chocolates and grapes, and we'd like you to share them. So let's take one plate over here. I think we ought to give Tony one. Would you like to take one and pass it on? Right, we need to give some more out. Look. Thank you. my plate's gone. Anyone got a spare one? We hope you've enjoyed our gift and you enjoy it completely unconditionally. And we have a little song which Ken found called The Magic Penny about giving away love. We've given away grapes and chocolate. Well, love's the best thing of all.
Something you can give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you can give it away. Special thanks for Tony for stepping out outside his traditional groove on this one. And thanks to everybody for joining in that. It is something that in my previous church we used to sing quite a lot, Methodist Church in North Kensington, and we always enjoyed it very much. And it seemed to fit the theme of the overwhelming generosity of God, which is what we celebrate today. We join to sing, King of Glory, King of Peace, I Will Love Thee. The lectionary for today presented three wonderful readings, so I thought we'd have all of them. And Jean Thompson is going to read the first two readings. They're not very long. The first one from Leviticus and the second from 1 Corinthians.
The Lord told Moses to say to the community of Israel, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you harvest your fields, do not cut the corn at the edges of the fields, and do not go back to cut the ears of corn that were left. Do not go back through your vineyard to gather the grapes that were missed, or to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for poor people and foreigners. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal or cheat or lie. Do not make a promise in my name if you do not intend to keep it. That brings disgrace on my name. I am the Lord your God." No one should fool himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise by this world's standards, he should become a fool in order to be really wise. For what this world considers to be wisdom is nonsense in God's sight. As the scripture says, "God traps the wise in their cleverness." And another scripture says, "The Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are worthless." No one then should boast about what human beings can do. Actually, everything belongs to you, Paul, Apollos, and Peter. This world, life and death, the present and the future, all these are yours, and you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Amen.
The third reading comes from Matthew's Gospel and will be read to us by Olive Springer.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 38, teaching about revenge. "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But now I tell you, do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, let him slap your left cheek too. And if someone takes you to court to sue you for your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if one of the occupation troops forces you to carry his pack 1 kilometer, carry it 2 kilometers. When someone asks you for something, give it to him. When someone wants to borrow something, lend it to him. You have heard that it was said, 'Love your friends, hate your enemies.' But now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may become the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to shine on bad and good people alike, and gives rain to those who do good and to those who do evil. Why should God reward you if you love only the people who love you? Even the tax collectors do that. And if you speak only to your friends, have you done anything out of the ordinary? Even the pagans do that. You must be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Christians in every age have faced fundamental challenges, and of course, every generation thinks of its own situation as uniquely difficult. We live in a secular and consumerist society. Material values are paramount, and faith is frequently derided as self-deception. We recognize also that the mission and image of the church has not been greatly helped by our unedifying debates on sexuality and gender. Perhaps above all, though, we are worried about falling numbers. Taken together, these things add up to a crisis of confidence. In the face of them, it's a blessing that the readings for today take us back to the focus and ground of our faith, that is, the nature of the God whom we worship. We are the people of God. The fact that we give glory to God and follow the way of Jesus makes us who we are. There are many distractions which can deflect us from the worship of God. But faithful commitment is the one thing required. No one denies the urgency of mission or for the church to address issues of numerical growth. But the church does not exist to grow. It exists to give glory to God and to follow Jesus Christ, after which it may grow or it may not. What is required of us is that we should be faithful to the vision of God which we have been given and not beat ourselves up, or, which is the same thing, drive ourselves to despair by taking to ourselves responsibility for changing the world, because that belongs to God alone. In Leviticus we read, "You must be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." The command to be holy is about our relationship to God. God whose thoughts are not our thoughts and whose ways are not our ways. When we worship, we acknowledge that we are not the center of our own universe. And this understanding is central to Jesus, who teaches us when we pray to address God as the Father whose name is to be hallowed. The Lord's Prayer celebrates the complete otherness of God. Like the command to be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy, the prayer of Jesus reminds us of our relationship with God. The holiness of God is not something small and cozy which we can take for granted. For the ancient poets, God's holiness embodied those eternal values whose transgression, they said, brought admitted shame. For the psalmist, the holiness of God is the only measure of good and evil. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And for us, the nature of God is revealed in the life and death of Jesus, who died to reveal the depths of God's holiness and love. The invitation to follow his way of love puts our lives into context. We can understand how falling short of the love of God makes sin real and shameful, whereas without that vision, the significance of falling short is not really clear. The meaning of God's holiness is anything but vague. Leviticus spells it out. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap right to the edges of the field or gather the gleanings of your crop. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. And again, do not keep a hired man's wages back till next morning. Do not treat the deaf with contempt, or put an obstacle in the way of the blind. You are to fear your God. I am the Lord. Jesus said, whatever you do to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did to me. The way we enter into relationships in the world will turn out in the end to have been all along the way in which we were entering into relationships with God. All human beings are never neutral. Whatever we do, we are doing not only to each other, but also to God. This is part of the meaning of the saying, you must be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. It's a call to us by the manner of our everyday living to give glory to God and to follow Jesus Christ. It may be undramatic, but we cannot tell the effect of faithful witness in our lives. George Eliot, in her novel Middlemarch, concluded that the effect of her heroine Dorothea's rather undramatic life was incalculably effusive. For the growing good of this world, she said, is partly dependent on unhistoric acts, half owing to the number who lived faithfully a hidden life and rest in unvisited tombs. So neither can we tell what effect our faithfulness or unfaithfulness will have on the growth of God's kingdom. The message of Leviticus is that we should be faithful to God and rest in the confidence that he will be faithful to us. It is his love and power which will determine all the outcomes for us. Matthew, in today's gospel, records Jesus' teaching on the extraordinary nature of the goodness and generosity of God, and the great difficulty we have in coming to terms with it. You've heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but what I tell you is this, love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. Only so can you be the children of your heavenly Father, who causes his sun to rise on good and bad alike and sends the rain on the innocent and the wicked. If you love only those who love you, what reward can you expect? What is extraordinary about that? There must be no limit to your goodness, as your heavenly Father's goodness knows no bounds. So we see the similarity between Jesus' teaching in Matthew and the writers of Leviticus. Both of them tie our life to the life of God. As Leviticus says, you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So Jesus says, there must be no limit to your goodness, because your heavenly Father's goodness is unlimited. the parables of Jesus warn us that we will have trouble coping with the overwhelming generosity of God. Remember the laborers in the vineyard, where the last men employed for 1 hour got the same pay as those who had worked all day. Human concepts are reversed. The final words of that parable, "Are you jealous because I am good?" are directly addressed to those who find the gospel offensive. This is like the love which is God, full of compassion for the poor. How can you possibly oppose it? The parable shows how contrary God's values are to conventional thinking. Or think again of the story of the prodigal son, or rather the unprodigal son, the dutiful boy who had kept the farm going while his brother was living it up and wasting his father's money. He was understandably furious at the fuss made when his brother returned. But the key message of the parable is about the unreasonable love of God, a warning that people will find the generosity and love of God offensive. There is nothing comfortable about the parables of Jesus. We are left with the problem of coping with the overwhelming abundance of God's love and how to apply what we have heard in his gospel to the way we act and react in individual, social, and political situations. This surely is the root of the current conflict between Christian leaders and the coalition government about morality. They would have left the prodigal son to starve on moral grounds. One thing is certain, the ideas of Jesus are not wise by the standards of this age. Hence, perhaps the comments of Paul that Christians must become fools if they are to become truly wise. But that is coupled with his closing assurance that we can be confident because everything belongs to us. The world, life and death, the present and the future, all are ours. And we belong to Christ and Christ to God. Keep silence for a few moments. We join to sing, "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform." join to pray. In our prayers today, let us ask for God's gift of liberation and hope for all his people. Blessed are you, holy Lord God of Israel and our God, revealed to us by Jesus. You come to your people and set them free. Today, Lord, we remember before you all those who are caught in conditions and situations they cannot escape and need your healing, forgiveness, and liberation. We pray for countries where people are trapped in a spiral of violence which appears to have no end. We think of the men, women, and children in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, Ukraine, Israel, and Palestine. We pray for the reconciliation of enemies, for the exercise of tolerance, for people to be enabled by your Spirit to take the risk of forgiveness and new beginnings. O Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come unto thee. We pray for people trapped by poverty and lack of opportunity all over the world, and especially in North Korea, where we have a number of members of this community. We remember before you the work to help poor families in Romania through help to hospitals, orphanages. Empower what we do to bring hope to people in despair. O Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come to you. We pray for our own country, where the gap between rich and poor grows wider, and many people face debts and cannot find work. We pray for those whose homes have been destroyed by floods and who cannot see an end to the current situation. Give wisdom to those with authority, that they may find wisdom and compassion in the decisions they make. We pray especially for young people, that the difficulties they face may not lead them to lose hope or to become disillusioned. We pray that personally, in our community and as a country, we may find ways of using resources so that everyone may experience the joy of your creation. We pray for all who are grieving, anxious, or ill. We keep silence as we remember those known to us directly, especially members of our own church community. We name before you people known to us who are in shock or who have received bad news about themselves, their families, or people they care for. Help us to be to them your support and love, so that in their weakness they may know your strength, and in despair find hope. In you, dear Lord, we are one family on earth and in heaven. Your love embraces both the living and the dead. We remember in your presence those who have died. Deal gently with those who mourn. We give thanks for people taken from us, giving you thanks because of the love that we shared because of them, and especially for the grace of Christ revealed to us in their lives. Loving God, receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Service continues as we make our offering. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, All My Hope on God is Founded.
Thank you.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.